Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is 69 degrees and rainy here in upstate New York. Kind of damp and starting to see the beginnings of fall. A little bit of color on the trees. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Precision Medicine. Peter Thiel, Young Blood, and DIY Brain Zapping. Yeah, we actually talked about all those things. It is a world gone completely insane in the name of science and technology. Those corks have all been popped, and the world has been turned on its head. We have disruptive technologies happening at an exponential pace with the law of accelerating returns. Where technology creates technology, and the future is looking like something we won't even recognize. And something that I ran across the other day that I wanted to mention to you was that I remember when this first happened, Obama had announced the Precision Medicine Initiative. But before that happened, they had come out in October of 2015, the White House releases a new strategy for American innovation and announces areas of opportunity. This is economic development, ding, ding. From self-driving cars, we've covered those from the very beginning, to what? Oh, smart cities. Yeah, smart cities to be able to control. We've looked at thermostats and lighting. We can have wireless in our lights and do Li-Fi, can sense what's in a room. We have cameras that can now detect emotions. We have tools that can read brainwaves. And as this research is continuing, we saw that they can even suck ideas out of your mind and see images in your dreams. We have nanotechnology spinning off the rails from desktop manufacturing to biological drug production inside of a living organism. We have the Brain Initiative able to zip and zap, make you happy, make you sad, erase bad memories for people who suffer from trauma. They have tractor trailers who can go in a convoy. I don't know if you've seen any of this across Europe. We've talked about that as well. We're going to have Uber push a button, like I said, on your mobile device, or even tomorrow, maybe on your arm in your jean jacket, to call yourself transportation on demand. They have new energies, finding out ways to reverse combustion. First time ever. Department of Energy heading up a lot of the synthetic biology research. And then, of course, ways to teach our children, utilizing tools to be able to determine where their strengths are. Get them into the STEM sciences, technologies, and maths, so they can become our next generation of mad scientists. You know, they did a spotlight on 9 areas of strategic opportunity. I want to read this because this really kind of outlines, we're not even a year beyond this point. And look at how fast things have come, how weird things have gotten. Says, as a part of this national strategy, the Obama administration is highlighting new areas of strategic opportunity where focused effort can advance national priorities and help create shared prosperity. Yes, it's all in the name of economic development, selling you to the machine, including the following 9 highlights. Number 1 is advanced manufacturing. American manufacturing that, of course, we know all went out the door to China and Mexico, which supplies nearly 3/4 of all of the private sector research and development is central to American innovation, both to discoveries being made today and to our ability to drive productivity and job growth in the future. Guys, that's what this is all about. This mad science is all about job growth and staying at the leading cutting edge of technology. Well, that leading cutting edge happens to be in all these crazy technologies. That's why we have tech billionaires moving their way in, whispering in some ears. And this is a vision that I don't think any of us are really, truly, fully prepared for. The president and his administration have put forward a comprehensive agenda to strengthen U.S. manufacturing, including restoring the nation's lead at the cutting edge of manufacturing innovation by launching the National Network for Manufacturing Innovation, reinvesting in supply chain innovation, and supporting the scale-up of technology-intensive manufacturing startups and more. Now, I hate to tell you, but a lot of the 21st century manufacturing that we've been reading about has to do with replacing humans with robots. And I mean, laugh what you will, but it's really not that funny. I couldn't even believe, you know, we've laughed about having delivery drones for pizzas late at night, and there goes the delivery jobs. Well, wait, I got to play this. I ran across this right before the show. I mean, if this doesn't put the writing on the wall as to how totally screwed we are, that in the future we're not even going to have these jobs to make a few bucks on the side. Here, check this out.
Time to get out. Freshly baked pizza, straight out of the oven, ready for delivery. But this pizza wasn't made by humans alone. Robots had a hand in it, too. This Silicon Valley startup is using intelligent machines to grab a slice of the pizza delivery business.
We automate those repetitive tasks so that we can spend more money on higher quality ingredients. And so there were...
So we're going to automate the repetitive tasks, which is the entire job, making pizzas over and over and over again for a pizza store. And we're going to put that money into higher quality products. Yeah, like I'd believe that one.
There will always be a model here at Zoom where robots and humans work together to create delicious food.
Yes, humans and robots will work together to create delicious pizzas.
Zoom Pizza is one of a growing number of tech firms seeking to disrupt the restaurant industry with software and robots.
Software and robots in the pizza industry. Guys, it's already, we saw in China at one of the distributors of components or creators of components. I don't remember the name of the company, but hold on, we'll find a, I think it was 60,000 jobs were replaced in one fell swoop. Foxconn, that's who it was. I think Kevin Flange talks about Foxconn and Apple. Foxconn axes 60,000 jobs as robots take over. Guys, this is, like I say over and over again, just the beginning, okay? And we just whacked 60,000 manufacturing jobs in one fell swoop. One of China's high-tech manufacturing hubs is accelerating uptake of robots as labor costs rise, as per the South China Morning Post. And this was in May of 2016. 35 Taiwanese companies, including Apple supplier Foxconn, spent a total of 4 billion won on artificial intelligence last year. So yes, that is software and robots. According to Kunshan government's publicity department, the Foxconn factory has reduced its employee strength from 110,000 to just 50,000 thanks to the introduction of robots. It has tasted success in the reduction of labor costs, and more companies are likely to follow suit. As many as 600 major companies in Kunshan have similar plans, according to a government survey. Guys, 600 companies times 60,000 robots is 36,000,000. So whatever that is, 360,000 jobs, I think. Or maybe 3 million, no, 360,000. That's a pretty enormous number. So let's just, you know, kind of announce it in a White House whitewashed sort of way as, oh yes, innovation and national networks for manufacturing innovation. But remember, that innovation is going to include robots. All right, let's hear the rest about what's happening to the pizza business.
Hear robots add the sauce, spread it, and put pies in the oven. The startup will soon add robots to prep the dough, add cheese and toppings, take pizzas out of the oven, cut them into slices, and put them in boxes.
Then what's left? Well, maybe delivery, but add a couple pizza delivery drones, and they've already been toying with that for a long time. And I think this could be another Harvey's or Carl Jr.'s with completely autonomous restaurants or maybe one supervisor.
And we're going to free up people to do things that are higher value. There's going to be amazing new ways of working that don't exist yet that are going to be created.
Zoom's.
Now, wait a minute. That was the co-founder of Zoom's Pizza. Did you hear what he said? Now, remember, we're talking the pizza industry. We've read a lot of the documentation and a lot of the spin on robots taking the jobs. There's a new White House consortium, I guess they had on their technology council or whatever it was. They're saying, well, we need to prepare for the 21st century because this is happening. And this was from a White House perspective. But they said, don't worry about it. It's not going to take all of our jobs. It's going to create higher quality thinking jobs that these robots who do these repetitive tasks that we used to pay humans for are going to take over, and they can do it better and faster and don't need benefits and don't ever get sick. And hey, it's one time upfront cost. We don't even have to pay them. But listen to how this co-founder of this pizza company, who is doing a mainstream little news piece to spin up how wonderful robots are, listen to how he just regurgitates the exact phrases that we have read time and time again in regards to this coming new technology as the reasons why this isn't gonna hurt you pizza workers who are currently earning some sort of an income to survive. Don't worry about it, because we will come up with thinking jobs for you.
To do things that are higher value. There's going to be amazing new ways of working that don't exist yet that are going to be created.
In a pizza store. So you're going to be the creative talent who comes up with creative new pizza recipes when there is no more sauce and there is no more cheese.
Zoom says its biggest innovation is inside this delivery truck. It has 56 ovens to bake the pizzas en route to its customers, starting this fall. The startup wants to shorten delivery times with software to anticipate when and what kind of pizzas customers will order.
When they place their order, their pizzas could arrive piping fresh in as little as 5 minutes. And that's pretty cool.
Wow. Have a great day.
It's delicious. It's always hot and fresh when it comes. And I can't tell the difference that it's made by a robot versus a human.
Oh, my God. I can't tell the difference. And she's like all giddy over it. This is insane.
A San Francisco-based BistroBot likes its customers knowing their sandwiches were made by a machine.
The basic idea is we're trying to automate some of the stations you might find in restaurants, and it's quicker, it's cheaper, it's more consistent, and it's just this really fun experience to share with people.
Experts say more automation is coming to restaurant kitchens, but robots still struggle with irregular tasks that require fine motor skills.
Right, don't worry about it. The robots really aren't coming for your jobs. They have problems with fine motor skills, and we haven't been working with things like Baxter doing cloud learning or anything like that that can learn a job in less than 8 or 24 hours on an assembly line. No, no.
Making progress, but it's still a challenge. So I want to reassure restaurant workers that the skills that they have are still going to be of value.
One thing robots can't do, savor a good slice of pizza.
It's delicious.
Well, good thing they can't eat it, too.
Terry Che, Associated Press, Mountain View, California.
Mountain View, California. Isn't that the same place where Facebook is? Or Google? Maybe Google. I don't know. So there you go. Just for an example of advanced manufacturing coming to a town near you. Hungry startup uses robots to make pizza. But number two, of course, on this list of a spotlight of 9 areas of strategic opportunity by the White House October of 2015. Number 2, precision medicine. Now, we spent an entire show yesterday looking at lots of the different facets of precision medicine. 21st Century Cures Act coming to a doctor's office near you, bag and tag you from every perspective. Well, Obama, in his precision medicine initiative, which this was February 25th, 2016, Obama came out and made some public statements about it. He says, this is an extraordinary and exciting time for medicine and biological sciences. And this was the day he sold us, guys, to the pharmaceutical industry. This is an extraordinarily exciting time for medicine and the biological sciences, and a lot of this traces back to the work that was done in mapping out the human genome, which was an enormous endeavor. There are some people here in the room who were involved in that process, and I bet you Jennifer Doudna was there. I have an interview or her speaking to Vice President Biden in regards to his cancer moonshot that he's been handed in the name of curing cancer. But anyway, there are some people in this room who are involved in that process, which includes our own head of the National Institute of Health, Francis Collins. And at that time, it was enormously expensive for us to do that. And that was mapping the human genome. And with the advance of computers, big data, we are now seeing rapid acceleration in making that process cheaper. We found out it was only $1,000 or $2,000 to sequence your genome now. It is spurring on a whole new set of understandings about how diseases operate and how the human body cells operate and how areas like cancer show that each cancer may be unique, even if it is in the same organ. And so all these insights now promise us the possibility, ding, of being able to cure diseases that up until now we just couldn't figure out. We could oftentimes, with real blunt instruments, like cavemen, that's what he wants you to believe. But it's true. We really didn't know what we were doing. With real blunt instruments, treat, but it was very ineffective, or at some cases, at least inefficient. And what we are now seeing is the possibility of us identifying diseases, targeting them, individualizing treatments for a particular patient, and operating with a kind of precision that promises to reduce costs, provide much better care, and our entire healthcare system make it much more effective. Now, if you remember, what's the one thing that we are using to target precision in precision medicine? Oh, CRISPR. Yes, CRISPR, splicing and dicing the human genome in a targeted fashion. Mr. George Church and Jennifer Doudna and the Broad Institute at MIT and all of the universities, Texas A&M, DARPA, Department of Energy, Synthetic Biology. You know, it's very curious when we flip back in time just a few months. We've dug pretty deep into what precision medicine involves. I mean, even get into the Brain Project and inserting nanowires and embedding little microsensors, little robot doctors. And this is all part of the same innovation that Obama is spinning out here with his very crafted speech that doesn't involve any detail at all. But listen to this. So not only are we going to reduce costs and make it better and fix your diseases on an individualized level because we have been groomed to care about ourselves, right? This is in selling the message. If anyone's been listening to Nathan Frazier's Anarchopreneur episodes, he's up to episode 37 or so now, I think. It's pretty high up there. One of Nathan's shows, he was talking about how to sell the message in marketing. You're trying to sell a story to the masses. And the way to do that is to make it, what's in it for me? Whiff them. What's in it for me? Because people will care about a message. What's in it for me? And if it's about curing Nana, we've talked about this many times. If it's about curing your cancer, if this can save someone you love, they're going to be able to pull on those heartstrings, to push those oxytocin buttons, to be able to chemically manipulate you to feel for the cause without giving you the detail as to what is really being done and how it's being done and what this really means and where the ethics are. Remember, just 6 months ago, before all of this, we were still having ethical arguments about whether or not a self-driving car, and I've said this many times, but it's very true. I pay a lot of attention to technology ethics and this merging of man and the machine. And the big argument at the beginning of 2016, before this very White House edict, this heart-tugging speech, this promise of tomorrow, of saving us all, again, by Obama, the man who created the Kumbaya neuro-linguistic programming that happened in this country back in 2008. We look at what is actually happening back in the beginning of 2016. Our biggest ethical dilemma was whether or not the self-driving car should kill the driver in the event of an unfortunate accident, as opposed to potentially running down the 22 people on the sidewalk. The self-driving artificial intelligence would be programmed to save as many people as possible, hence making you the sacrificial lamb with no last-ditch effort, especially in the cars that are going to have no steering wheel and no brake pedal. I don't remember whose model that was, because there's so many of them now, but somebody was definitely going to be designing them with no interaction possible. But that self-driving car, artificial intelligence, our ethical dilemma 6-7 months ago was all about whether or not you had the ability for self-preservation, or if that artificial intelligence was going to be making the final decision as to whether who lived and who died. Well, here we are, fast forward 6 months. We have Obama announcing this acceleration in research. We have the 21st Century Cures Act coming that's going to take every bit of splicing and dicing they've done to us and utilize that with companies such as 23andMe, who have received funding from the National Institute of Health. They've utilized, and we're going to look maybe a little bit, they've utilized a corporation, we've read about them before, called Illumina. And Illumina actually has an investor named Craig Venters. If you remember, Craig Venter was the man who created the first reproducing synthetic cell. We have all this happening together, and it is now spinning out of control. So anyway, Obama says it's going to make it so much better. We have centralized it all around you. It's about precision medicine. It's about curing you and curing Nana and making us live happier, healthier lives as we manage everything at a micro level for you through all of our new technologies that we are going to bring together, utilizing things that we have never seen before. Now listen to this, and this is the kicker. Going to continue here, reducing costs, providing better care, making our entire healthcare system much more effective. And the key, Obama says, to all of this is for us to be able to build up databases. Ding, ding, ding. It's all about the database and the algorithm, people. I told you, they want to splice and dice us every which way to Friday, and it is going to be your dossier. It is going to be actionable information that they can glean details that you wouldn't even imagine about you. All right, back to Obama's speech. And because all of us potentially could have electronic medical records that voluntarily, ding, he says, with strong privacy protections, we all pool together so that researchers, here we go, here's the sale, people, he sold us in this sentence, so that researchers, practitioners, scientists, and of course he doesn't mention big pharma, can share. So let's give it all up voluntarily, says check that box. Go to 23andMe and find out if Nana was part of the aristocracy and check that box. Become part of the study. We want a million plus in the database that we can then hand over for free to all of these institutions to splice and dice you. We may be able to accelerate the process of discovering cures. Yes, learning how to do gene therapy in ways that we have never seen before. Guys, we have never seen it before. Obama says, just like he promised us hope and change, we have hope and change, guys. And our Precision Medicine Initiative has been designed to get all of these various building blocks brought together so that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And yes, the law of accelerating returns, I told you. We have an explosion that is about ready to happen right in our faces, right in our DNA strands. Now, he gives us an example, and I don't know if we knew about this. I know I didn't know this. So that, for example, the VA, he says, which has been gathering genomic data on a large number of our men and women who have served this country, in order to serve them better with the VA system. So anyone who's been going through the VA system, who's been in the armed services, there's been a large number of you that they've been collecting your DNA and using it to take quote-unquote better care of you in the VA system where they could put you on death lists. Can make them connect with researchers at a particular university. Yes, because our soldiers are guinea pigs. And we can use big data databases to accelerate the research process more rapidly. Those kinds of opportunities are here. And the good news is we're going to keep you around because you're still useful to us. No, that isn't what he says, but that's what he means. And the good news is that over the course of the last year that we've made this announcement about Precision Medicine Initiative, we have seen huge interest from where? Oh, the private sector, from the public sector, from the not-for-profit sector, from the medical community, and from researchers, as well as the military. And today, we are able to announce that 40 more organizations, a large number of other organizations, are joining us in this process. Guys, this is a takeover. And there is a whole new set of initiatives that are going to help drive this even faster. And my hope is that this becomes the foundation, the architecture, where 10 years from now, we can look back and say that we have revolutionized medicine in areas like cancer or Alzheimer's or some of the diseases that have caused so much pain and suffering for so many families across the country. And there is no better place to do it than the United States of America, where innovation and R&D, ding, 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 that R&D line item budget, we are just going to give it now for free to the big biopharma technocracy that has settled upon our country. Where innovation and R&D has been the hallmark of driving not only our economy, and we're all going to get rich, in parentheses, but the improvements that we've seen in the life expectancy and the quality of life for people around the world. And then it tells me I have to applaud. Guys, in this speech, we were sold to Big Pharma. It is on whitehouse.gov. It is titled Remarks by the President in Precision Medicine Panel Discussion. South Court Auditorium, 11:25 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on February 25th, 2016. We have been sold by Precision Medicine. So back to this spotlight on the nine areas of strategic opportunity for our country announced in October 2015. So this is before he gave that speech. Precision Medicine, bullet point number two. Most medical treatments have been designed for the average patient. And as a result of this one-size-fits-all approach, treatments can be very successful for some, but not for others. Precision medicine gives clinicians tools to better understand the complex mechanisms underlying a patient's health, disease, or condition, and to better predict which treatments will be most effective. But the potential for precision medicine to improve care and speed of the development of new treatments has just only begun to be tapped, like I said, the very beginning. And what the first step of that is giving your DNA to the machine. The 2016 budget proposed $215 million to launch the Precision Medicine Initiative, which will leverage advances in genomics, emerging methods for managing and analyzing large data sets and databases, and health information technology that puts you in the electronic medical health records while protecting your privacy. Now, something that came out of this Precision Medicine Initiative was something called the Cancer Moonshot. This Cancer Moonshot was handed to Vice President Biden to be spearheading. Now, if you remember, Beau Biden died of brain cancer. And something that was odd is that there was like almost a 9-hour conference on this Cancer Moonshot with Biden. It was a huge conference. And one of the people who kicked off the announcement, which I thought was really strange, I'm looking at this woman, I'm like, oh my God, it's Carol Burnett. And then they announced her. It was Carol Burnett. I guess Carol Burnett's daughter died of cancer as well, so that's why they thought to have her there. But I thought, what a strange person to have there, since Carol Burnett was a comedian her whole life, and like, this was the big joke on us. But I found a truncated version of Biden kind of giving his psychological spin to sell this to you. This is what they call the elevator pitch. This is how you sell something when you're trying to sell to corporations and people who have money that you want to get to invest in your idea. But what was even more interesting is who was in the audience at this discussion on cancer moonshots and Biden's sales pitch, who, I don't even know if they called on her. She just started speaking, but then she, I think she introduces herself, but I could tell who she was, and I recognized her voice right away. That's Jennifer Doudna. Jennifer Doudna, one of the co-founders, or at least co-conspirators, to get this technology out there in CRISPR technologies. So remember, we have the Precision Medicine Initiative, and one of the biggest goals is to cure cancer. And then as one of the big moonshots, we first heard the moonshot term in regards to Regina Duggan. She was working at DARPA. She was part of the DARPA Moonshots Project, which were the roll of the dice. Completely impossible, but if we throw enough money and brain power at it, we might come up with something that is revolutionary. And then she moved over to Google. And while she was in Google, they put her in the ATAP program, which is the completely reusable components for cell phones and the wearable computing. These were the moonshot projects, and they called them that at Google. Now, I don't know if we realize this, but I've read it a few times, but I don't know if I've really spoken about this. She moved over now, former DARPA executive director, former executive at Google, now moved over to Facebook. She's working in the Facebook moonshot projects. I think some of what she was involved with was some of the satellite stuff and getting the internet ubiquitous across the planet. And I believe That was the satellite that just blew up on SpaceX, by the way. Was that African Internet Facebook Internet satellite. But anyway, I digress. So that was my connecting dot to moonshots. So now we have this cancer moonshots project that's being headed as part of a precision medicine initiative from the White House, being headed by Vice President Biden. And who shows up in the audience to have something to say? About halfway through this clip is Jennifer Doudna. Again, she is invested. They have a company called Adidas that owns, and they're still fighting over the patent, whether it's her or her co-founder that actually owns the technology. Remember, there's lots and lots of money that is involved in this technology since it has now gone global. 60,000 copies of CRISPR sent across the planet to kick it off. And no lostness when you make a copy like you get in certain types of data. All right, let's listen to this clip. Vice President Biden and Berkeley's Doudna discuss cancer moonshots.
Everything about our country has always been about possibilities.
Listen to his pitch.
From someone making an arduous journey here to make it to a country they don't speak the language and have no idea how they're going to be welcome, why do they come?
He has to go 1,000 foot.
Just generically, possibilities. And what I'm was changed in my career of late is the sense that there are significant limitations on our hopes and aspirations. And it used to be that the one thing everyone sort of believed in was that if we just got the best minds, we just got the best people, figuratively speaking, in a room, there wasn't anything we couldn't do. And I am so convinced you all have brought this process so far along that I'm convinced as we make progress in the near term, meaning the next 5 years or so, in this area, it's going to reawaken that sense in America beyond the health sciences, across the board, in the enormous possibilities that exist in this country.
As we turn the world upside down with all of these disruptive technologies, that is what he's meaning right here.
Mr. Vice President, Dr. Biden, it's a real honor to be here.
Jennifer Doudna.
I'm here not as a cancer researcher, but I'm a fundamental biologist, and I feel I really represent many of my colleagues here who are doing basic research in biology that often leads us in unexpected directions. And in my own case, together with my colleagues, we came across a finding in research we were doing on bacterial immune systems that led to a technology for genome editing, which means being able to make very precise targeted changes to the DNA in cells, so precise that we can change a single letter in the DNA code in a human cell, for example.
CRISPR.
Now, what is this? Why is this relevant to cancer? And I think there's sort of two points that I wanted to make. One is that I think it's going to be extremely valuable for research, understanding, you know, taking the data that Jeff and many others are generating and being able to understand what changes in cells are the real drivers of cancer, and furthermore, what are the appropriate targets for therapeutics. So I think that's one use that this will be incredibly valuable for. But I'm also very optimistic about this technology being important as a therapy in its own right, especially coupled with immunotherapy, being able to use it in the immune system to help program the immune system to target cancer cells.
To help program the immune system, and not only to target cancer cells. And I found an update. There is an update to some of that research that was being done in CRISPRing people. Remember, we saw the pushing for that at PenU in December, but they also had a project going on in China. I found some updates on that, so we'll look at that after this. But they were also discussing with DARPA the shape-shifting immune system, and that would be not only for cancer, but for any type of anomaly happening in the body. That algorithm could be programmed into the cells to be able to recognize not the individual pathogen, but maybe more behavioral things happening in the body to alert it to an early warning system that something is going awry. Hold on 1 second.
We've already seen a really exciting example of this in the UK with a young child who had leukemia and was treated with immune cells from another donor that had been edited using gene editing. So I think this is the tip of the iceberg. And I just would love to see the cancer moonshot continue to support fundamental research that leads to breakthroughs that are going to be critical to address this mission.
Well, you sold me on that in Davos.
You sold me on that in Davos, he said to Jennifer Doudna.
I really mean it, and my staff will tell you there is a consensus among the folks about focusing on basic research.
Davos is the world's richest people, by the way. This is the Economic Forum. This is the global investment engine in new technologies, Davos. And guys, it's gene editing is going to become the norm.
And how important that is in this effort. With your help, you know, I may help facilitate the things that you are on the verge of doing.
Basically, the White House is behind this mad science 100%, and we are going to facilitate anything that you need to make this happen.
Doctor, thank you so much for letting me be here.
So there you go, guys. Joe Biden discussing and putting his full White House support. He was tapped as the head of the Cancer Moonshot Project as part of Precision Medicine and gave his blessing to Jennifer Doudna and an entire auditorium of scientists working on gene editing. Now, there is a section on whitehouse.gov, whitehouse.gov/cancer moonshot. And down toward the bottom, it says, make a commitment to help. The White House Cancer Moonshot Task Force's mission is to double the rate of progress in cancer research and treatment, striving to accelerate what could be achieved in 10 years in just 5. The goal of the Cancer Moonshot cannot be achieved by one person, one organization, one discipline, or even one collective approach. Rather, solving the complexities of cancer requires, again, this is the spin, requires the formation of new alliances to defy the bounds of innovation and accelerate the prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and ultimately the curing of cancer. If you plan to launch a pioneering collaboration aimed at breaking down a barrier that is impeding progress in cancer research, prevention, diagnostics, treatment, or care, I would like to hear about it. This is on whitehouse.gov. Let's get involved, people. In the coming months, we will be highlighting new, specific, measurable steps that organizations and communities across the country are taking, and whether you represent industry, government, a health system, not-for-profit, philanthropy, research institute, professional society, patient, or others, I want to hear from you. Tell us about your activities to support and advance this cancer moonshot. Everyone get behind us, behind our DNA editing humans. These activities could include, in particular, new collaborations to advance areas of work. Share your moonshot ideas. The vice president is leaving no stone unturned when it comes to good ideas. So whether you're a patient, a caregiver, a doctor, a researcher, a scientist, or simply a concerned American, we want to hear from you. Like propaganda. I can't even get over the propaganda. Let's not look at any of the dangers. Let's not look at what this could potentially mean. If we look at the other side of that sword, let's make sure we have the blanket over the other side. And not talk about who's going to own this data, where your data's going to live, what database you're going to be in, what other information besides curing your cancer they can acquire from your genomic sequence. No, we're not going to talk about that. It's all about curing Nana. The National Cancer Institute recently launched a new open tool for anyone with a scientific idea or suggestion for addressing cancer research challenges, and you can send a cancer research idea to their blue ribbon panel. That's weird, blue ribbon. Why wouldn't they call it the pink ribbon panel? The blue ribbon panel of cancer experts right now, or engage with some of the great ideas that have been shared already. Do you have a general idea for the cancer moonshot? Consider this a citizen suggestion box. Share your ideas with us and let us know how to contact you about them. Be famous, people. Step right up. I want your ideas and I want your buy-in. And you can go to the Twitter hashtag CanServe. Yes, like How to Serve Man in the cookbook. This is CanServe, how we can serve you up to the database to become a guinea pig in this big petri dish we call Earth. All right, September 12, 2016, out of bionews.org. Scientists from China have managed to shrink the size of tumors in mice using CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology. So this was just from 2 days ago. They used a technique that can change a gene that normally promotes tumor growth into one that triggers cancer cells to die. This is a clever use of this technology to control cancer growth in mice by manipulating the expression of cancer-causing genes, says Professor Andrew Sherox, professor of molecular biology at the University of Manchester, who was not involved in the study. The really interesting aspect is that they use a system which responds to signals created by the cancer cells themselves as they grow, and this then causes specific genes to turn on or off, which then results in the elimination of the growth. The activated CRISPR-Cas9 system then drives the expression of the tumor suppressor gene, stopping the growth of the cancer cells. So I'm wondering, by the way this is worded, the activated cancer CRISPR-Cas9 system drives the expression. I think there's gene driving. We looked at that 2 days ago with Bill Gates and gene drives. In driving a particular genetic trait that's been spliced into some genetic code inside of the organism, and then it will then replicate that and drive it through all the other copies of that DNA in an organism. In a separate part of the study, they use CRISPR-Cas9 system to induce the expression of genes that trigger cell death, and in both cases, when mice were injected with cancer cells, those with the reprogrammed cells developed much smaller tumors than those who had not been treated. These results have been reported in the Journal of Nature Methods. Dr. Chris Lord of the Institute of Cancer Research in London, who also was not involved in this research, told BBC that the key to translating this technique into the clinic will be to see how well specific tumor cells see the CRISPR activation and how specific in terms of genes the CRISPR-mediated gene cutting will be. In a separate study published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, scientists at the University of Dresden demonstrated that they could specifically cleave more than 80% of known cancer-causing mutations without targeting healthy genes using CRISPR-Cas9 technology. Now that's insane. At the University of Dresden, they could specifically cleave more than 80% of known cancer-causing mutations. Guys, I am not saying that this technology shouldn't be explored. What I am saying is that there are no holds barred. There are no ethical committees. There are no protections that this technology could not be utilized in such a way. And I'm not even saying on purpose. I'm saying accidentally on purpose to cause some horrific future unintended consequence, some polluting of the genome, like the polluting that's been done to our planet, things that they were dumping that maybe they didn't realize what was going to happen ecologically 5, 6, 7 generations down the line. Okay, even if we just take that one little facet of all of this, there is still a danger, and that is a great danger. that this could not end up being in our best interest. I think there should be extreme caution and very targeted exploration, but not a full-out and out Davos Economic Global Forum. Push it out. Let's do case studies. We read as part of the 21st Century Cures Act, it was going to be all about revising how clinical trials are done, rolling this out, and then writing case studies on all your successes to spin it into a sell sheet to be able to sell to the public. There are no ramifications, just like with vaccine injury, the vaccine injury board, something that was signed us over to Big Pharma back, I don't know, it was less than a decade ago, and put in protections so vaccine companies could not be sued individually, class action lawsuits. You had to go in front of this vaccine injury board and prove your case on an individual basis, and then be given a pot of funds that you may potentially have access to. But there were limits on what a human life and damage to that human life through mad science gone mad, without the proper procedures and research being done, without the proper informed consent being given, because they don't tell you that there's mutagenesis, or they have not tested some of these vaccines for mutagenesis and carcinogenesis. Just step right up. Take the vaccine because it's going to save your child from getting measles at Disney World or getting cervical cancer or anal cancer with HPV vaccines. Step right up. Don't ask questions. And if your kid is one of the unfortunate few that tends to have an adverse reaction from the MMR, the onus is going to be on you to prove that it was us. And you probably won't be able to because of other extenuating circumstances. Well, that same protection as part of the Monsanto Protection Act is going to protect genetic modification from class action lawsuits. You will not be able to go up against the machine and prove that this down two generations is what caused you to, I don't know, no longer to be able to reproduce. And don't think that they haven't been messing with that technology. That's what all of Bill Gates' funding behind the research of gene drives in mosquitoes is all about. Utilizing the same identical technologies. There's some other headlines here that are utilized for the story, sources and references. August 31st, CRISPR-Cas9 technology to inactivate cancer mutations out of Science Daily. Out of Nature Methods, September 5th, 2016, direct cellular information flow via CRISPR signal conductors. So that's a pretty strange one. We can now talk directly to cells utilizing CRISPR. Gene editing used to make tumors shrink themselves, September 6th. Gene editing method shrinks cancer, another September 6th. BBC, inactivation of cancer mutations utilizing CRISPR-Cas9. In the Journal of National Cancer Institute. So guys, this is coming. This cancer moonshot, Jennifer Doudna, Joe Biden, Precision Medicine, 23andMe, the National Institute of Health, and then the company behind it, Illumina, that is doing all the gene sequencing. I wanted to take a little bit of a look at Illumina as well, but I don't know if we're going to have a lot of time today. Maybe that's where we kick it off tomorrow. You know, one of the things we've talked about is where a lot of this research is taking us, and notice that they did not, I did, but they did not mention DARPA and a lot of the sprinkle funding that has gone into a lot of this research. The synthetic biology research, this being able to create shape-shifting organisms. But one of the things that DARPA has spent a lot of time and effort on is shape-shifting. They want shape-shifting vaccines that can evolve with viruses, just like their shape-shifting antivirus security for the Internet of Things that they were working on and doing that competition at the Grand Cyber Challenge in Vegas this summer. But they've also had a DARPA-backed project to create shape-shifting robots that can fold into different war machines, such as planes or boats, supersonic bombers. They also wanted to put color-changing abilities within robots as well. They also had a shape-shifting material that they were working on, calling it programmable matter. And this was in the very beginnings of this, back in 2009, guys. DARPA's programmable matter project creates shape-shifting materials from tools that morph themselves structurally to suit the job at hand to sentry bots that can change shape and squeeze through narrow passages. Programmable matter is such a far out concept. This is another one of those moonshots that is difficult to imagine. This is back when Regina Duggan was there, by the way. Even from existing, those ideas existing outside the movies, but thanks to some creative work done by scientists funded by DARPA, it might actually become a reality, creating materials that can be programmed to alter themselves at a molecular level into various shapes and then disassemble to form entirely new ones. Guys, now wait, fast forward. Technology, innovation, design. DARPA wants to build homes out of biological materials. If I can get this to reload, this was a recent story out of 2016. DARPA wants to build homes out of living biological materials. The research body DARPA is promoting an insane idea of building homes out of living materials that grow and replenish themselves. This is August 12th, 2016. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Today's Wednesday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next, and all kinds of great new radio tonight. Have an awesome Wednesday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. And take care.